Go ahead and bow your heads. Not trying to be rude, but bow your heads and in a very nice, loving way, shut your mouths and open your hearts. Say, God, please open my eyes, open my ears, focus my heart. Open my eyes, open my ears, focus my heart. God, you love me more than I can even comprehend. You love me more than I can comprehend. Your love for me is unfathomable. I can't even comprehend how great a love you have for me. Your thoughts towards me outnumber the grains of sand upon this earth. You love me so much that the price tag you put on my life is the blood and breath and life of Jesus Christ. Thank you. Thank you that you love me that much. Thank you that you cherish me that much. Thank you that you find me precious. And I don't have to do a thing for it. I just have to receive it. Thank you. And God, with that in mind, will you open my eyes and open my ears and focus my heart? Speak to me. God, I echo in this room the cry of the righteous that says, Daddy, will you speak to me? I come in agreement with them. Lord, I come in agreement and I come alongside and I say, will you just breathe on us? I ask as an intercessor for those who can't or won't in this room, will you speak? Will you open eyes? Will you open ears? Will you focus hearts? God, your presence is big in this place. Your presence is thick in this place. And so within the presence of God, there's no room for darkness. So I silence the effects of the darkness in the name of Jesus. I squelch the efforts of the enemy in this room in the name of Jesus. I call this, by the authority of Jesus, a safe zone, a haven of rest and refreshment for your children to sup with their King. I pray we have a dose of you tonight that messes us up. That's the best way I know how to say it, God. Will you show up and show off? And ask it in Jesus' name. Everybody who wanted some of that said, sweet. Hey, you guys in a good mood? And let me ask you this. I mean, and not trying to start some like, hey, woo-hoo, yeah, kind of thing, you know. But are you beginning to get a taste of the good stuff? You with me? Does that make sense what I'm saying? Like, are you getting to the point where you're starting to taste a little bit of the Lord that you're like, wait a minute, this may actually be something I want? You with me? I mean, some of you may still think that being a believer or a follower of Christ means some kind of like upright posture. You know, kind of like I've been fooling around with all week. And you think that you have to just bless people. Bless you, bless you, bless you. Oh. And you have to keep your fists closed because you don't want any evil to get inside there. You know what I mean? Like, I grip no evil. You know what I'm saying? Does this make sense? And you think, man, to follow Christ would mean you've got to be all uptight and all up, like, nervous about someone may say profanity. My virgin ears cannot hear. You know, I mean, you may be, you get what I'm saying? Some of you may think that literally to follow after Christ would mean to have complete social shutdown to where you're such a freak of nature that no one could ever associate with you. And the bottom line is, I want you to understand something. If you truly got turned on to the things of God and you begin to replicate the life of Christ through your life as you live out who and what He is and what He's about, let me tell you something. Some of the world will hate you on the account of that, and the Bible prepares you for that. He says the world will hate you on account of me, but listen to this. But the world will hunger and thirst for what you got. See, listen. We will be blessed if we're persecuted for the sake of righteousness. Blessed. It's blessed to bleed in the name of Jesus. You understand this? But do you know that the Bible has promises? And the writer... here I am blanking out again. But the promises to God's children are yes and amen. And they're immense. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, starting around verse 3, some stout stuff. We'll probably look at that this week before we get out of here. But it says, man, He's given you precious and magnificent promises. Promises. That by these promises, you can become a partaker in the divine nature. Did you hear that? Did you catch that? The promises of God are to you, for you, and to be used by you. And the promise is this, that by those promises, when you take God at His word, what will be manifest in your presence is the very nature of all divinity. You know what that is? The things of God will be the things of your life. Smile. That's crazy. That's crazy stuff. But see, some of you will leave this camp. And can I just say this, and I apologize. I'm not trying to be a punk or whatever, clown on you or whatever y'all say. But some of you guys will leave as ignorant as you came in because you just... I don't know what your deal is, to be honest with you. Let me ask you this. What's so great about what you got that's not worth trading for everything He is? I don't get it anymore. I'm sorry. I used to understand it, but I don't anymore. The Lord has pulled me so far out of the world that when I look at the things of the world, I'm like, are you serious? Are you serious? This is what you're going to sell yourself for? You're that cheap? You're that easy? Can't believe it. Please wake up. Please. You know what I mean? And I'm not trying to pick on y'all, but I'm like, some of you guys will leave and go home and act as you did before you came in here and heard truth. And my prayer is, man, you'll fight through whatever it is that's causing you to just throw yourself before the train. You know what I mean? Am I making any sense to anybody? Maybe? Okay. Open your Bibles. Let's look at this. We're going to look at this tonight. I'm excited about this. This passage, look, we're going to let the Word of God come to life. We're going to let it come out, smack us around a little bit, and then we're going to put it down. Let it kind of sink into our spirit, into our soul. Let it marinate our hearts. And then hopefully we're going to open our mouths and praise the Lord some in this place. All right? In case you're wondering, like, the worship set was short tonight. They want me to talk longer. No, I'm kidding. I'm going to speak. I'm just kidding. I'm going to speak, and then the band's going to come back out. And we're going to just engage God. But I think it's crucial that we literally listen to Him so we know what we even could say back to Him. With excitement. You know what I mean? You with me? All right, if you're with me, say, I'm ready. All right, open your Bibles to Romans, my favorite number, 8. Romans chapter 8. You're like, Romans is not a number? Well, there are Roman numerals. That was a dad joke. That was officially a dad joke. But I'm a dad, so it works. Apparently, y'all have talking Bibles. I turn the page, it just starts talking. Okay. Romans chapter 8. Flip there. And somebody start reading verse 5. Now, again, you know I'm going to interrupt you like three words in. You know how it goes. But we're not going to read past something. Let's look. Again, before you start reading this, I want you to say in your spirit, God, open my eyes, open my ears, focus my heart. All right? Somebody start reading verse 5. And go ahead. Got it. Go. All right, somebody else read it. Right here, we got it. Baby girl. Somebody else read it. Somebody else read it.
Oh.
He's trying hard down here. No one else read it but this guy. Someone else read it. Go, quickly. Perfect. You guys getting this? I mean, you heard it like 17 times. You gotta. Can you even say it without even looking at it? Go. Or listen. You're like, I don't speak English. Okay. Just kidding. Just kidding. I'm sorry. I'll just go. I'm just messing, bro. I'm sorry, man. He did. You know what he said? He just said, I hate white people. Okay, so somebody, hey, without looking, without cheating, you just heard it like 50 times. What was just said? What was just said? Okay, if your thoughts are of the flesh, your life is of the flesh. If your mind's on the spirit, you guys get this. Now here, this is what's crucial. What we heard in this place, some of it said sin nature, some of it said flesh. But understand this, it says, those whose minds, now listen, those whose minds are set on the flesh. Now, what does that mean? It's their focus. Remember what we've been talking about. You guys see that God's just got this big spiral of a message for you that's just spinning right in front of your face. Everything we've been looking at all ties together. Do you see this? The mind, if it gives its attention to the flesh, then it is in the flesh. If it gives its attention to the things of the spirit, then it's given itself to life and peace. Is that what it said? Am I reading the right deal? Okay, then the things of the spirit. Okay, we're going to get down in a minute because it's going to tell you the flesh is death, the spirit is life and peace. I'm sorry, I jumped ahead. But understand this real quickly. Real quickly. I want to make sure that you're seeing this paradigm. I want you to see the two things that are going on. If your attention is on the natural, on the sin nature, on what is normal, then your life is going to be characterized by the normal. If your mind is set on the supernatural or the spiritual, your life will be characterized by the spiritual or the supernatural. Are you guys catching this? Okay, all right, good. Now read the next verse. Let's keep moving through this. Verse 8, go ahead. Sweet. Keep going. You guys getting this? Okay, without looking, what did we just talk about? Good. Got a little bit backwards. We will erase that and we'll try again. Go ahead. What do you got? No, you got it backwards too. Yeah. The mind set on the flesh has one destination. Do you see this? Has one destination. What? Death. All right. The mind set on the spirit has a destination. It is life and peace. You get this. Dude, hear this, man. Hear this. No offense. Some of y'all need a life with some peace. Or maybe just a piece of a life. You with me? This is good news. This is good news. Seriously. Keep reading. Somebody read. This part gets scary. Verse 7. Yeah. Dude, read that again. Dude, this should freak you out just a little bit. Go ahead and read yours. You got some. crazy translation right there, man. It's like New Universal Message of the Almighty of Latter-day Saints. Okay, go ahead. Lady of Guadalupe, go ahead. You getting this? Dude, this is crazy, man. The mindset on the flesh, this is scary. Listen, the mindset on the flesh, the natural, is hostile. Somebody define hostile to me, quickly. Okay, dangerous, violent. What else did I hear? Okay, characteristic of the enemy. Everybody pointed at her. Apparently we need to watch out right here. Okay, but yeah, this is hostile. Yeah. Opposable thumbs with a furrowed brow, that's hostile. But see, this is, you know, one of the ways I pictured this when I just began to study this is almost like when our mind is set on the flesh, we're kind of stiff-arming God. It's like, get away from me! It's hostile. You get what I'm saying? It's almost aggressive, like aggressively distant. You listening? It's hostile towards God. It says it can't present itself or it can't put itself under the influence of the Word of God. In fact, you know what it says? It's not even able to do so. Why? This is spiritually appraised. If your mind is not spiritually appraised, you can't get jack from this. That's scary. How many of us in our carnality and in our routine go into a spiritually appraised word from the Almighty with a very unspiritually appraised mindset because we just got to get this done. I got my 5 minutes in the Word. I got my 5 minutes of hallelujah, hallelujah. And then I'm going to run out the door and I'm going to spend all... You get what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying? And we wonder why it's dry. And we wonder why, God, Brad seems so distant from me. He's just so far away. Or we wonder why, man, I pray all the time, Brad. I feel like my prayers just hit the ceiling, man. Where's your mind? Now read verse 8. This if your stomach doesn't hurt already, it should now. All right? Wow. Those in the flesh. Now, who's in the flesh? Those who have their minds set on the flesh are then living in the flesh. And those living in the flesh cannot please Almighty God. Newsflash real quick. This just popped in my head. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. What does it say? Say it again. I'm sorry. Read it aloud. Okay. Somebody else read it. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 9. We make it our aim to be pleasing to Him. Mine says we have as our ambition. Our existence is to bring pleasure to the Almighty God. What we just said? Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. We can't even fulfill our intended reason for even being here. We are to be vessels who bring vessels of honor, sanctified by the Father, used by the Father in the name of the Son, by the Holy Spirit, and bringing pleasure to God through that obedience. And if our minds are fleshy, then our lives are fleshy. You may bring you into just a... You guys ready for like just a little deeper understanding of this? Anybody having wrestling with like the sinful nature or flesh, like what that looks like in your life? Okay, well listen to this. Do you know what this word means in the original language? The word flesh that's used right here. It's been translated, 50 different ways that we just read it all? But this word flesh, and again, I'm taking large definition, piling it into one little thing that you can take with you, like a little nugget. It means this. It means, what's wrong? You like nuggets? Like, we love nuggets. In fact, that's all I hate about Camp Zephyr. We've not had nuggets, one meal. Okay, great. All right. Just, you guys live in Nuggetville, and we'll keep moving. All right. I'm not sure what happened right there. Anyway, but listen to this. Listen to this. Here's your trial size carry-on from the Lord. But look at this. Flesh means this. Listen. Listen. This is crazy. It means sense. Okay? Thought process. Sensible. Sense or reason or rationale outside the influence of the Holy Spirit. Did you catch that? I mean, youth pastors, even look at me for a second. How much of your ministry is literally driven by thoughts that may not be spiritually appraised? Dude, that's scary. I mean, think about it for a second. Husbands, wife, think about how much of your conversations in your marriage that you pour into one another aren't even spiritually appraised. You need to give your mind to the Lord before you give your words to your wife. Woo! And we wonder why we got problems. I mean, even as a pastor, how much of our preparation is literally out of obedience and not only out of obligation? It's scary. I'm not dogging it. I'm saying we. I'm not saying you. I'm saying we. You guys see this? Is this making sense? The mindset on the flesh, the sense or reason or rationale outside the influence of another voice called the Holy Spirit, it's what I would naturally respond to the circumstances. It's when the circumstances come, my natural reaction, my rationale or my sense or my reason outside the Holy Spirit tells me that I should do this. I can't even please God in that arena. Does that disturb anybody else besides me? You guys seeing this? This is crucial to catch. But the mind given to the Spirit doesn't react by what it sees or what it hears. It reacts by what it perceives and understands. Are you seeing the parallel that's coming down right here? Seriously, I'm getting chills. Do you get this, man? Somebody please tell me you're getting this. Somebody tell me, you know what? This is so good I'm actually writing it down, Brad, because I'm going to go home and live this mess. Please. Somebody, praise God. All right? I'm going to keep up with you. All right? We're now Facebook friends. Okay, anyway. But you can look me up. It's bradnuggetfogarty.com. Okay? Posable thumbs. Anyway, but are you guys tracking with me? Just tell me you're there. Tell me you're there. It's good. We laugh. We can breathe a minute. Are you getting this? Dude, listen. The mindset on sense and reason and rationale outside the Holy Spirit is leading to death. Why? Because by nature, you're going to jack yourself up. So quit. So just quit. Give your mind over to the offering in hand. And this is the offering. Hey, I'll give you the mind of Christ. But let me have yours. Because yours is going to mess you up, girlfriend. Yours is going to tell you that the relationship you're in is right. And it's right for right now. And you know what? You're not even mature enough to make that decision. Your sense and your reason and your rationale is killing you. And it's going to steal from you. And it will eventually destroy you. You listening to me? That's a word, man. That's a word that doesn't feel good when you put it on. But I tell you this, if you put it on and wear it out, it will make you more like Christ. And the more you get like Christ, the more you're going to want. The more you're going to want, the more you're going to live, the more you're going to live, the more change you will see everywhere you go. You listening? I'm talking. Do you not want to be the person that literally when they walk in a room because the Spirit of God is so thick in them, the entire atmosphere changes? That's what He called you to be. And if anybody tells you anything less, you're a chump for believing it. No offense. I'm serious. Man, we should be so, so interested in knowing what the King of Kings would leave heaven to come down and display for us that we would look at his every action and say, I'm going to live it. I'm dumb enough to believe it. I'm not going to buy into the systems of this world. I'm going to buy into the truth of the Almighty, and I'm going to walk as he walked, and I'm going to talk as he talked, because I've been bought with the very blood that he bled. Woo! Thank you. I thought you were a Baptist. Ain't nobody say amen no more? Come on. We don't say amen, we say nuggets. Okay. Okay, that's great. That's awesome. That's awesome. Them awesome nuggets. All right. Here we go. Let's come back. Come back with me, listen. Let's go back through and look at this now. For those who are according to sense, reason, and rationale with the Holy Spirit, without the Holy Spirit, they've set their minds on their own reasoning and on rationale and their own sensibility. They've set their own standards. Do you see this? But those who are living according to the influence of the Spirit have set their minds on the things of that very Spirit. Are you seeing the Word of God teach you right now? Man, those who have ears hear, please. Not here, but as Jesus always says, let him and her, he and her, or however that goes, him and her that have ears hear, he's saying, let it go through the ear canal and pierce the heart. Dude, let this word sit in your core tonight. For the mind set on the rationale and sensibility and reasoning outside the Holy Spirit is death. But the mind set on the promptings of the Spirit is leading itself to life and peace. Are you seeing this? Because the mind that gives itself to rationale and reasoning and sensibility is hostile towards an almighty God, because it says, I can do it my way, and as I do it my way, although I love you and you love me and we're all good because I'm a Christian, I'm going to do things my way and ask you to bless it. And then I'm going to get ticked at you when you didn't do what I asked you to do. And that ain't how God called you into relation with Him. Do you understand this? You see the problem, folks? Please. The mind set on sensibility and rationale and reasoning is hostile towards God. And it does not subject itself to the words of God, because it's not able to do so. Why? It's not under the influence of the Word of God. Are you listening? Let it pierce you, man. For it's not even able to do so. Listen, and those who want to live in their own rationale and their own reasoning and their own sensibility cannot please God. Cannot. We're broke, folks. Let's acknowledge it. Let's see it. Let's call a spade a spade. In our culture, in our Christian culture, we're broke. We've adopted a form of godliness but have denied its power. You show me someone that walks in power, I'll show you somebody that walks with Jesus. You show me somebody that can stand and talk a good talk but can't demonstrate anything of power, and I'll show you somebody that knows a lot about God but doesn't walk in intimacy with Him. Something's broke. Something's broke. Something's broke. And here's the beautiful thing. Look at me. Jesus says, I can make all things new. Like that. You don't even have to turn around and make up for all the mess you've made. You can just go, sorry. Pick me. You know? They'll take you where you are, move you to where you need to be, and make a memoryless existence of the mess you've made. Smile. That's bad to the bone. I don't even know if that's a cool thing to say. Sorry. I just lost you all. Listen to this. Paul goes on to preach this. He goes on to teach this. Listen, if you've given your life to Christ, if you've responded, not I asked Jesus into my heart. No, no, no. That you've said, listen, I'm a sinner. I'm wretched. I'm lost. I'm a wreck. I'm destructive. I've messed up everything I've ever touched. I am no good without God. And here's what I'm saying. I'm leaving everything I am and I'm stepping into everything He is. That's the exchange of Christ. And Paul's saying, listen, if that's you, if you've made that exchange, listen to what he says. You are not in the flesh any longer. You can't live according to your sense and your reason and your rationale. Why? Because you've been filled with the Spirit. If you're quenching the Spirit by letting your mind stay controlled by your carnality, you are burdening and quenching and squelching the very Spirit of the Almighty. And you don't think stuff's going to be bad for you? Yoo-hoo. Listen to what it says. However, you're not in the flesh. You're not in sense and reason and rationale. You're in the Spirit, baby. Did I got to remind you about the Spirit? Because some of y'all might just slap in a minute. Because you're like, okay, bro. Carry on. Okay. You are in the Spirit. Listen to what he says. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. He's coming back and saying, you better make sure he does. You know how many times Paul says throughout his teachings, hey, do you not know? Have you not heard? You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Spirit. He's getting on these people. He's going, hey, look, bro, listen, you're not this little guy who collects Jesus figurines. We leaned you back and crammed the Spirit of God inside of you. You are a vessel of the Holy Spirit of God. Something bigger than the universe is in you. That changes everything. Doesn't it? It has to. It has to. Dude, it changes the way you walk on campus. You know what happens when you understand that the Spirit of God resides in you? That something bigger than the universe has filled up the void that you've been trying to get everybody else to fill? Do you understand what happens when that goes down? You walk into school. You have everything you need. You know what that means? Freedom. You know why I ain't stand up here and be all up on and in your grill and doing all this stuff and not give a rip what you think or how you look and whatever you want to do? You're like, I ain't listening to you. Okay, whatever you want to do. Whatever you want to do. The reason I am okay with you is because I don't need you. No offense. You all could stand up right now, yell at me whatever you want to yell, and walk out the back door. And you know what? I will go home with my kids, have a great time putting them to bed. I'll talk to my wife, and then I'll go to sleep. And guess what? I will snore till the sun comes up. I will not lay there going, everybody hates me. And I'm not going to wake up in the morning and go, Lindsay, I cannot go back in there. Those kids are vicious. Why? Because I don't need you. Your applause means nothing to me. Why? I find no value in it. Your boos do no damage to me because I find no destructive measure in it. Why? My value, worth, and price tag is all found in the cause of Christ. So now when I walk through this world, the world has nothing for me. So guess what? I walk in a manner that the world goes, I want what he's got. Y'all are like, Brad, you're being cocky right now. Dude, Paul had to stop several times and go, hey, I'm just boasting in the Lord. I'm saying, you want what I got. And I'm looking at some of you and I'm saying, you want what I got, I promise. I promise you. You know what kind of freedom there is to walk onto your campus and not need the affirmation from a soul on that campus? You can walk into the middle of the cafeteria and just stand there. Who do I want to sit with? Because I need none of thee to sit with me. I mean, we laugh, but you be the man. I'm sorry. Okay. I highly recommend that come August, whatever you go back to school. Walk in the first day and be like, all right, people, I need nobody in here because I got everything I need. So who wants to have lunch with me? I'll be sitting right here. And when you're all looking like a bunch of fools Friday night, I'll be playing Monopoly with my parents. You're welcome to come by. My address is... Just lay down the truth, man. Lay it down and say, hey, you got nothing for me, so don't even talk. Hey, man, Friday night, you want to go? Shut your mouth. Your verbiage is nothing to me. In fact, I don't even speak your language, you peasants. I mean, just... I'm sorry. We're supposed to love our neighbor, okay? You guys get what I'm saying? I know I went a little off the deep end. Let's come back. You guys with me? Do you understand when you recognize who you are as a result of who He is? You just go. And I hope somebody smells what's being cooked. Listen to what it says. However, you're not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, you better check it before you wreck it. But if anyone, listen to this real quick, guys. This is just newsflash. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to God. That's scary words. Great way to know if you have the Spirit of Christ. Do you operate as Christ? If the Spirit of Christ would operate in this manner, would the Spirit of Christ in you not operate in the same manner? Hello? Check yourself. Because he who doesn't have the Spirit of Christ most likely has given its mind to carnality and therefore lives in carnality. And does not belong to God. I don't know how else to break it down. Even in our culture, we've tried to make everything so safe and secure and tight and locked. And I'm telling you something. There's some scary stuff in here if you look at it and go, wait a minute. We have reduced this to taking a pill and now I'm in heaven and I won't fire it up when it comes to hell. And everything's going to be cozy. And now I can do what I want, and I can marry some hot chick, have a nice house, and 2.5 kids, and a... This is my half-child. You know, I mean, you get what I'm saying, though? I mean, literally, we've reduced it down to Jesus being a part of the American dream. And listen, Jesus ain't American. And he ain't no dream, either. I'm not sure what that meant, but... I mean, yeah, but I was like, I don't know what that meant. Listen to this. I am going to finish. I'm so sorry. Look. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. Listen, if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is now made alive because of his righteousness. Look. But if the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, and you know what this means? Hey. The very Spirit that entered into the tomb, entered into the dead, lifeless body of Jesus Christ and brought Him back to life is what resides in you. Smile, please. Come on, people. Please. The very Spirit of God who brought the dead, lifeless carcass of Jesus back to life is now residing in you. Was it? He who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give life to your tired, crusty, I don't know if you said that, mine does, your tired, crusty, sensible, rational, reasonable bodies through His Spirit who now dwells in you. It's freedom. It's freedom. Do you guys see this? Verse 13. If you are living according to the flesh, since reason, rationale, outside the influence of the Holy Spirit, you must die. I don't believe that means you must fall dead on the sidewalk. I think it's saying to you, if that's who you are, listen to what needs to happen. You must die so that you can live. You must be crucified with Christ. You must crucify yourself to this world. Say, I am dead to this world. It has nothing for me. As far as the world's concerned, I'm dead. They can't even call me by name because I got a new name and it's Jesus. Brad, you can't claim equality with Jesus. You will burst into flames. That's what he said. That's what he said. That's what he said. That is the gift. That's the gift of the gospel, man. That is gospel truth. Just as I am, so also will you be in this world. If you die to yourself and take up who I am, I will now live out through you the life you now live in faith through Jesus Christ. You guys see this? Please, please, please see this. I know this is a lot. You're like, man, all that came out of five verses? Okay. Keep going with me for just a second. If you're living according to the sense and reason and rationale, dude, you gotta die. You gotta kill that. You gotta kill that mess. Listen. But if you're living by the Spirit, then this is what your life looks like. Are you looking at this? Look. Don't be distracted by anything right now. I don't care who you are. Just listen. This is huge for everyone in this room. If you're living by the Spirit, the prompting of the Spirit, your mind is focused on the Spirit, what you're doing is, what does it say? Somebody read it. If you're living by the Spirit, you are what? Get it? Did you hear it? What did we talk about this morning? Dude, you have such a fervor of intense psycho sniperness for evil that you'll just walk through and go, bam, out, go. And you'll just be killing stuff in your life. You'll say, what am I doing listening to this? Turn that mess off. What am I doing looking at this? Turn that off. What am I doing searching this on the... Turn this mess off. What am I doing talking like, forgive me that I even opened my mouth. What am I doing in this relate? I'm out. What am I doing at the... You're putting to death the deeds of the flesh. What are the deeds of the flesh? The deeds that your sense and reason and rationale told you were okay to participate in. You with me? If you need help with the deeds of the flesh in your small group later, do y'all have family groups tonight or is it just church time? Okay, well, in your church group, you pastors, take a second, man. Look at Galatians 5. It gives you a list of the deeds of the flesh. Very first deed of the flesh is sexual immorality. You want to know if you're living according to the flesh? Right now, ask yourself, do I have any sexual immorality in my life? That doesn't mean you have to be doing anything with someone else. Is there sexual immorality? Is there immorality in your life? Check it. You know what I'm saying? Going down the list, look at it. Look at it. Deeds of the flesh. In fact, Galatians is nice. They even say this. The deeds of the flesh are evident, and they are as follows. You think I'm lying? Go look it up. Paul does us a favor. He goes, the deeds of the flesh are evident, and I will list them one by one. Name them one by one. Okay, you get it? It's there. You got it? All right. I think we need to quit with this thought. For all those who are being led by the Spirit of God, that's those who are putting to death the deeds of the flesh so that they can live the life in the Spirit that has a characteristic of being life like Jesus and peaceful at that. Those who are living according to the Spirit, someone else read it. I want to make sure you're looking at it. These are the children of God. You listen to this? Trust me. Look at me real quick. Look at me real quick. I don't care what kind of chump. I don't care what kind of drunkard. I don't care what kind of abuser. I don't care what kind of jerk. I don't care what kind of waste of space. Whatever label you got in your mind for your own dad, it may be like, he's my hero. Okay, great. I don't care what kind of hero dad you have. I tell you this right now. If you let your relationship with your dad define your relationship with receiving God as a father, you've already messed up. Let me tell you something. Just pull and focus on him. I'm telling you something. If he is your daddy, you in good hands. You with me? Doesn't matter. You're like, well, Brad, you know what? I I can't even trust my own dad. That's fine. That'll come. Let's get over here and get in right relationship with the Lord and understand the fact that, look, if you're living according to the flesh, you're dying. You're killing yourself. And if you're living according to the flesh, if you're letting your sense and reason and rationale drive you everywhere you go, you better put that mess to death. You better die to yourself and say, I will no longer be the check signer for my life. You get this? I'm going into new ownership. New management. You with me? And now that the Lord is now controller and owner and operator of me, I'm truly His child. Does this make sense? And look at me. Look at me. Some of you desperately need that assurance. And I promise you this. If you will give yourself to that God, you will experience what He promised. Okay? Well, Brad, I've tried. Stop. Shut your mouth. No more excuses. I don't care what you've done in the past. I'm saying this. If you'll give yourself to this God that was just described to you, not the church God that maybe you've been sold growing up. No offense to anyone's church, anybody's upbringing. I'm just telling you, we talked today. Now, I've talked to several of you. You guys know. You know we've been broke for centuries. And I'll tell you what it is. We've moved away from the teachings of Christ, and we've built empires upon the teachings of men's opinions about the Christ instead of moving in the kingdom of the truth of the Christ. 2 John, dude, I'm schizophrenic, if anything. Second John, look at this, verse 8. 2 John, verse 8, it says, watch out and beware, watch yourselves, guard yourselves, so that you do not lose what we have accomplished. Listen, these guys, what's being said here is, look, we've been dying to pass on the good news of Christ. You better watch out. Look at me. You better watch out, man, because if you lose what we've been passing on, bro, I got people close to me that died to pass this on to you. Don't you let the outside world tell you that it's less than what we told you. I was with Him. I saw Him. I walked with Him. You better watch out. You get what I'm saying? Do you see what's being said right here? Watch out. Be careful. Stand guard and don't lose what we've accomplished so that you can receive the full reward that comes with it. What is that? Life. Life and peace, right? I mean, we're looking at this. You guys with me? Listen to what it says. Anyone who goes too far. Look, do you hear that phrase? What does that mean to you? Anyone who goes too far. If you miss the turn into Camp Zephyr, which is probably easy to do your first time out here, you're like, I'm going to call Unsolved Mysteries and say, I found everybody. They're living out here. It's like in the middle of nowhere. Right? Y'all didn't get that. It's okay. I thought it was funny. All the adults are like, I know Unsolved Mysteries. I used to call that number as a prank call. Anyway, I'm who you're looking for. Sorry, I digress. But literally, if you miss the turn and you drive on down FM 1151 or whatever it is, 3162, it's just random numbers with FM in front of it. It's like a radio city. Anyway, it's like you can go too far, and guess what? You ain't where you're supposed to be. Am I right? This is what this is saying. If anyone goes past what? The teachings of the Christ, the mark of Christ. If anyone goes past, look at what it says. If anyone goes too far and does not abide, what does that mean? Stay, dwell, camp out, be resolved, unbudging, unmoving. You getting this? Anyone who goes too far and doesn't stand firm in the teachings of the Christ does not have God. Does that say anything to you about our culture? Does it make any sense to you as to why Christianity really isn't appealing to you? Hello. Hello. Does it make sense why maybe literally cultural Christianity as we've produced it and presented it really is nothing of interest to you? Because you're like, really, if I'm just good enough, then I'm a good Christian. dude, you're supposed to be... Do I need to start over? Do I need to start over? Do you understand what you're supposed to be doing in the name of Jesus? Baptized. What's the song we sang? Jerry's gone. He's doing something. But I mean, what was the song we're singing with emotions, man? You know what I'm saying? I mean, if we've been forgiven of our sins, baptized in the water, filled with the Holy Ghost, and bathed in the blood of the Lamb, do you know we're supposed to look different than we do? Please tell me yes. Okay, good. All right, and we'll close with this. You guys should read 2 John sometime. It'll mess you up. You want to? Yeah, all of it. Like the whole thing? All right. We're done. We're done. Does this... You guys, we're not finished. All right? We're done for tonight. We're far from finished. Is the picture starting to come to a more clear, what would the word be? Like, resolution? Stop talking for a second and answer me, because I want to know. I want to know where we are. Is the puzzle starting to now, like, oh, we don't just have the border made anymore. We actually have the box with the picture and like, oh, I can make this. Okay, I mean, are we getting there? All right. Well, here's the deal. Not creepy, anything like that. I'm gonna pray the same prayer over you tonight. I prayed over you last night. I'm asking you to put your hands out and say, I receive it. All right. If anybody wants to know what I'm praying over you, I'm praying over you. The prayer that Paul prayed over the church at Ephesus is found in Ephesians. It's in verse 17 and following in the chapter, the very first chapter. Let me pray over you and just say, God, I receive it. Just say that in your spirit the whole time I'm praying. Just say, God, I receive it. I receive it. I receive it. You understand what I'm saying? Just say that in your spirit. I receive this, man. Let it, and you know what? Say, let it be. Let it be true about me. Let it be true. Let it be true. I receive it. You with me? Fight right now. Fight to receive. I pray for you, each of you.